Good morning, everybody. I know that Brad, you were sitting here talking about, you know, even the devils believe and fear, you know, and he's one of the things he said, even rednecks, even educated, even it doesn't matter. I even so-called Christians out there believe, but do they believe his word and do what it says and is obedient unto that thing? All right. See, I mean, one of the things is, and a lot of times what you find is the educated and the taught in the church, all these have a hard time actually receiving that grace, receiving that mercy. They go to seminaries and all these kinds of things. It screws them up. Screws them up. But look, I wanted to highlight that point because it's just not that's the case. I mean, here I am, a redneck myself. I remember the taking a picture on the tractor years ago, and I had the girl. I think I had Raylan. She was real young, and you know, Raylan on my lap and Briley on my lap or something. And you know, I remember Ricky going, "Man, look at those! They're such a redneck family." I was like, "Awesome! Praise God!" But look. One of the things that I want to highlight in the points that you were saying there, Brad, was, you know, when you're talking about coming in and being good or bad, a lot of times it's just bad. It's actually just bad. Because look, if it's not rooted in Jesus Christ, then it's no good. It's not good at all. And in fact, that's a lot of our conversation I know in past of where we were telling you, lay down that carnal mind. It is bad. You got to lay it down. You got to lay it down with vengeance, man. Let that garbage go. That education go, man. Put that thing down. Learn Christ. Learn what He has. Now, we come in bad shape. Nothing good there. That's why we came to Him. We realize there's nothing good here. All right? So I wanted to highlight that in that preaching. And the other thing that, one of the things that you were talking about it kind of also being what charity is that agape love of Christ. It's a choice that you make. It's you know, Don Francisco made a song, "Love is not a feeling, it's a what? Act of your will." I like that song, man, and that's exactly what charity is. And it is love to go to your brother, even though the outcome, and they might be mad at you, they might have a problem with it, they might hate you for it, but you're going to go in humility and tell them what the issue is that they're having that's holding them back. That is charity. That is charity. I mean, if you looked at Davey, and one of the things that Davey did was he cared more about your relationship with Jesus Christ than anything else. When he came to you and he presented you issues that were lying within you, see, he could care less about your feelings, how you felt about a thing. He could care less about those things. He cared about your relationship with the Lord and what was hindering you there. He was an apostle. What was the apostle? One of the apostles' jobs was what? Perfecting the saints. All right? See, that is love. That is charity. Now, one of the things that you were talking about and the struggles that you had there with work, and the things was, and you shot me a text, and one of the things I know that I highlighted, that fear is a spirit. And how do you battle a spirit? With a bigger, badder spirit, which is what? The Holy Spirit, okay? But see, that battle first came to where? To your mind. See, that battle had to be won here. And I'm pointing my head for those that are online, you can't see. I mean, did not that what Jesus did before he went to the cross? Wasn't he in the garden there praying, Lord, Father, I pray that this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours, thine be done? And I'm paraphrasing here. And he strived against sin to the sweating of blood, till great drops of blood were coming down his face. I mean, that battle was done. That battle was done there. And when he rose up, there he was. He was ready. And I highlight this. I mean, how many times do we start our day just like that? How many times do we start our day battling those things, putting down that carnal mind, putting down all that nonsense? All right, that all those things that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, man, putting those things down. Taking that old carnal mind and casting it down. See, the battle sometimes can be very intense. Can be very, very intense. I remember having to shout, scream, battle, battle. What I was battling is that old carnal mind. I was battling against that unbelief that was trying to rise up within me to keep me from going and doing that which the Lord had called me to do. Had a battle. And frustration. And all kinds of things. But when I laid that thing down and I came out of that thing, the Lord presented a way for me to go to the other side. And it was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in my eyes. It was awesome. One of the other points that I saw this morning, it was kind of funny of how we are. And it's so easy for us to justify ourselves in so much. And I'm kind of, it was that thing where it was like, Brad's up there and he goes, you should know this song. And, you know, I think, somebody speaks up and says, what page number is it? Oh, you shouldn't need it. Well, I don't have the page number. Bingo, there we go. There's the truth right there, okay? See, I highlight this point because it's so easy for us to justify ourselves. So easy to cover up the things that are within us, yet that keep us from going forward in the Lord. It's so easy. It's such a natural thing to do. Such a natural thing to do. But I want to go, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says here, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now Peter is writing unto the elders of how to go about feeding the flock of the Lord, giving them the word. Not by constraint, like, I gotta do this, but no, of willingness, something you want to do because you know what? You love them and you care for them. You want to see them grow in the Lord. You want to see them attain all the promises that the Lord has for them and showing and paving them a way for them to have just that. You don't do it for money's sake. No, you do it because you want to see them succeed. And now I know I talked about Davy a little bit earlier. I mean, that's what Davy wanted for each and every single one of us. He wanted us to succeed in the Lord more than he succeeded in the Lord. That's what Davy wanted. And and he did this thing, and being of a ready mind, he did this thing in a way as being an example to us. And I know Steve, for an example, is a great example for me. The things and the testimonies of what he has shared and what he has gone through are an examples of the way and the battles that I have right now to go about doing it the same way. And him also having a testimony of going and getting over to the other side of that. A great example to me. And when I saw and I really took heed to those things, and I really did, as Steve was talking about there in those things, guess what? I had a testimony of getting the Lord getting me through the other side. And praise God. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now this is an interesting point, because look, we are yet a body. We are to be clothed with humility, being subject one to another. Have you ever seen an army to be able to function correctly when they were not subject one to another unto that line of authority that it's giving unto them, and everybody went and did their own thing, was prideful, exalted, and all these things, wanted to do their own thing and did not listen to the commands and the orders that were given down? How well do you think they're going to function? How well do you think they're going to survive out there in the battle? Oh, not well at all. Not well at all. I mean, it just won't work. It just won't work. And see, being clothed in humility, and I give that example this morning of, yet there's the truth, is I don't have the number to the page. I say this, folks, is because it's where you place, where you're in humility, that the things that might grate on you, the things that might just rub up against you, talking about the rock tumbler. You're talking about all these things where we one another might rub up against one another and these kinds of things. The place in humility is not you go and point your finger at the next person and sit there and say, man, that the fault lies within them. No, you sit there, you humble yourself before the Lord. You find out within yourself, saying, Lord, show me my error. See, look, man, if you're in absolute frustration and anger and all these things and in bitterness and all these things, man, there's something going on within you. And it's in that place where you humble yourself and say, all right, Lord, what is it within me that's causing these things? Where am I in error in these things? See, and that takes great humility. That takes great humility on your part. I remember Steve's, just his last message, what he was talking about, and the things that people have done had frustrated him, has made him take on walks, has made him go out there and just battle in frustration, beating his fist in the air, angry. And the point and the truth that he had to come to and to humble himself was that where he was frustrated and all these things, it was a place where he was wrong. Not saying that the other person's right and it justified them. That's not saying that at all. But it was a place where he was wrong in these things. And yet when he came out of the other side in his prayer, whatever, then he could go forward and rightly minister unto that person, as the Lord would have him minister unto. See, it's so easy, folks. It's so easy. See, we're called to what? What is the Father's will? Anybody? Father's will? love God, love one another. All right? So we put Him first. That's a choice. We put Him first. We put Jesus first in our lives. Next, it is who? One another, the other people within the body. And then maybe you can get around to you, but no. It's what? Love your enemies. Oh, man. Where does that give time for you in that equation? Zero. I mean, that's zip and nada, man. And I'm telling you right now, if you can't love your brother, first of all, if you can't love the Lord, you can't love anybody else. But if you can't love your brother and sister in the Lord, you sure as heck is not going to be able to love your enemy, which hates you with a vehement hatred. I mean, you're fooling yourself, quite frankly. You're fooling yourself. And now, look, we can all turn to Corinthians 13 and talk about and look at charity. And I could tell you right now, when you start looking at charity, and you could sit there and make pretense and all these things, but when you take an honest look at that word charity and what it means and the attributes of that love, I mean, you take an honest look at that, man, I mean, you start, yeah, I love the Lord. Oh, I love my brothers. Man, I love my enemies. Well, one, when you're in that place, I mean, I'm sure you're going to be quickly remembered how, like, that's not within you. All right? And that's not how you are. But then you can just look at charity itself, and you can see those, it thinketh no evil, is not easily provoked. I'm looking at these things, and I'm going, wow. Woo! That's what charity is. Woo! All right, Lord, I can't do this. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But what the Lord says is, I can and I have. All right. Well, there you go. There's an entrance in where, see, if He can and He has and He's called us to do just that, then we can too. And see, that's where we cease from our own dead works, and because you're not going to be able to do it with this flesh. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it with this flesh. I guarantee you. You know why? That's why. What you got to do is you got to reckon that thing as dead. That's why you got to put off the old man. That's why you got to battle in that very beginning to just kill, I mean, just absolutely just put down that carnal mind. Just put down that carnal mind with everything that you have. And you yet choose to love the Lord. You yet choose to love your brothers and sisters. You yet choose to love your enemies. You yet choose. And see, where the new man came from, it comes from who? Him. Which is not tainted. See, that's the only way you can do it. That's the only way. But let's move on. For God, what? Resisteth the proud and what? Giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I do not want God resisting me. Well, if you don't want God resisting you, don't be proud. Don't be high-minded. See, high-minded is in that place where you're always looking at somebody else's faults. High-minded is that place is when you are wrong, you blame somebody else. You're looking at them. You're looking at them through a microscope in these areas. Think you're better off. Think you don't have those problems. See, it kind of comes with that same example of, I mean, it's so easy to justify ourselves. Man, you don't need that. You don't need it. You should know this song. You should. I mean, the truth is, I just don't have the number of the thing. Oh, okay. Well, here's the truth. You see, it's when you come to that place. See, and you can take these things to the Lord. You can talk to Jesus about any of these things. I remember talking to Steve about a few things, man, just coming wide open. Man, this thing frustrates me. This thing's blah, blah, blah. This thing's them. And he's going, do you know why that is? I do have a clue why this is. Because of this. Da, 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 da. And you know what they were all highlights on? It wasn't about the other person, you see. Did you know that? Didn't justify that the other person was right. Don't hear me wrong. It wasn't about the other person, you see. It was all things that were lying within me that were yet the old man still alive. And they were just points of highlighting yet that old man still alive. And I had to yet put those things down. Had to lift those things up to the Lord. I had to give them to him. Had to give it to him. But it took humility on my part to actually sit down and get honest with myself, get honest with the Lord, and to wrestle those things down so I could give those things to him. See, as long as you're proud and it's not your fault or any of those things, man, you're justified. See, yeah, you're justified. Why do you need grace, man? You're already right. See, we don't realize it, but that's really for the position where you come from when you're in this place. That's really just the truth of the matter. But I want to carry on. And God resisted the proud and give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, yet when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and you come to that place where you're honest with the Lord, you're honest with yourself, you're not deceiving yourself anymore, and you sit there and you look at these things, and it takes humility, and it can be very ugly what you see. It can be very ugly what you see. I mean, quite frankly, it could be shocking. Man, I mean, I knew I was a sinner. But I had no idea it was this bad. I mean, that's how it could be. But yet, there is the Lord. There is the cross. There is the payment that he paid for it all. And you get down to that place, and you give it to him. He cast all your care upon him. You say, Lord, forgive me of me being this way. I see. See, when that rock tumbler, it smooths each other off. See, it's in that place where you get smoothed off. Those rough edges get knocked off. Because then you can say, Lord, I recognize that that is my old man. I've been listening to it. I don't want it anymore, Lord. I don't want it. What is this what Jesus said? Ye that are heavy laden, come to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, he's there to set you free. He's there to set you free. And those things, when you come honest with yourself, you quit deceiving yourself, those things are things that yet you can be set free of. Because yet they were just entangling you. They were making you in bondage. They were holding you down, keeping you from being successful in what the Lord has called you to be, which is a minister of his light, of his grace, of his mercy. See, Jesus doesn't want to hold you in bondage. That's what Satan does. He's come to what? Liberate you. And see, when you come to that truth, what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. Absolutely set you free. And you get up from that. You get up from that. You cast your care upon all. You casted all your care upon Him, because what? He careth for you. And you get up, and you get up free. And you get up rejoicing. You get up praising the Lord. You get up with a grateful heart of what He has done for you. And yet it's in that place then now that you can get up and you can go minister that love, that grace, that mercy that He has to someone else, to your brother and sister in the Lord, to your enemy. See, that's what it takes. Are you willing to go through that? I tell you, it's awesome. I tell you, it can be quite painful sometimes. I'm not here to fool you and say that it's never, ever painful. That's not true. Sometimes those weeds and those tears and all those things that are within your heart start getting rooted out. It can start to hurt. But it's there to set you free. The other side of it is so awesome. It's so great. And it's worth every bit of it. It's like having a very affected wound. A very affected wound. But you go to clean that thing out, man. It's going to hurt. You don't want to touch it. You just don't want to touch it. You don't want nobody putting the hydrogen peroxide on it. You don't want the antibiotic ointment on that thing. You don't want to mess with it because it's going to hurt. Things all pussy and nasty and all these kinds of things. And it's going to, if you don't do something about it, what it's going to do, it's going to grow, become infectious, can spread infection, get in your blood. It can eventually could kill you if it doesn't get cleaned up. Isn't that right? Remember how they would amputate guys because back in the war, they didn't have the antibiotics. They had to do it because the infection would spread and kill them. So they had to absolutely just cut their limb off. They had to absolutely cut their limb off at times. So, man, that process can be quite painful. But on the other side, when it becomes all healed up, you're delivered of it, it's not sore anymore, you're free to walk around on that leg or that use that arm that you couldn't before because it was in so much pain. Oh, man, that was awesome. It was worth it, wasn't it? Like having a surgery where you have to have something taken out. Yeah, this thing's killing you. This thing, you know, maybe it's a bad appendix or whatever. The thing's hurting. Yeah, you got to go into surgery, get put down, sliced open, removed. Doesn't sound too fun. But it is what it takes to get rid of that infected thing that could what? Eventually kill you. I mean, see, this is how serious this is, folks. It's how serious it is. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's telling us to be what? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know whom he seeks to devour? Those that resist the steadfast in the faith. Those that resist it. See, when you resist that, all right, when you resist that process, when you resist the steadfast in the faith, look, you leave yourself open for attack. See, when you resist the body, when you resist that line of authority and you're not in Jesus Christ, man, that's when that roaring lion, he wants to come. What does he come to do? It's Satan. Come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That is his main goal. That is his main purpose. That's what he wants to do. And I'm telling you, if you don't, you're not in that body, you're not in his protection, man, it could be very much stink to be you. Very much stink to be you. But if you're within him, what does he see? He sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, let me tell you, he's scared of Jesus. How many times did when Jesus came into the synagogues or came to those that were possessed with the devils, did the devils cry out, "Oh, thou son of David"? I mean, they were scared. It also talks about in scripture where how the devils, they believe and they what? Fear and tremble. They fear and tremble. So it's an awesome thing what the Lord has done for us. It's like, man, it's like having a big brother that turns around and has whipped that you've been bullied, you've been beat up on, you've been dragged through the mud by this son of a gun, Satan. And your big brother comes and kicks his tail and then says, "All right, your turn. You go have at him. Whoop-de-doo. I'm going to go have at him and dance on his face." Amen. That is an awesome thing. Thank you, Jesus. But see, these are the only ways that you can do it. There's only one way, folks. You're not going to be doing it. You're not going to be able to do it with this old carnal thing. Not at all. What does Paul highlight? "For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds." Because "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all the powers of the enemy." And I'm paraphrasing, messing that up. I wish I had that scripture, but praise God. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Look, it's the Lord that is well able to establish you, strengthen you, settle you. That's what you were talking about, Brad. That battle that was in your mind first. Being high strung, spirit of fear hitting you. Battling that spirit with the Holy Spirit. Putting that old man down. Putting that spirit of fear down. And then what? You became settled. You became... Everything seemed to be a lot. It wasn't a absolute fiery anxiety mess that you were operating in. You were able to actually operate clearly. And move through that which the Lord has called you to move in. Now, whose strength was that done by? By the Lord's himself. By the Lord himself. Now look, for us, we are, what is our mission? Our mission is here. We're here to love God, love one another, preach the gospel. If you don't know the gospel, how are you going to preach the gospel? You're not. If you haven't had to apply it in your life, apply it like David had in Psalm 51, how are you going to minister it? And if you can't love one another within here, what makes you think you're going to love those that are without? See, these are all litmus tests, folks. Litmus test, folks, for us to actually see clearly what is within us. And the thing why you can have compassion on your enemies and those things is because you know that they don't know the Lord. You know that they don't know the love of Christ. You remember where you came from. You remember what you have done. And you remember where the Lord had great mercy upon you. See, and that's where you can have compassion on them. And you know what the Lord has done for you and how while you were yet his enemies, he died for you. That's how you can have compassion on them. That's how you can love them. That's how. I know myself had some struggles with some areas in my life just this past week. And the Lord yet showed me some things in that area of loving mine enemies. And He showed me in a way that I could understand. And I praise God for it. But look, folks, the Lord is a liberator. The Lord wants to set you free. He wants you to be successful in Him. He's got all good things for you, if you will have it. He one thing He does not have charge over, that is your free will. He respects that more than anything else. So don't resist Him. Let's humble yourselves in His sight. Let's get honest with yourself, folks. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with the Lord. Find that grace that He has for you. Find that freedom that He has for you. Find those promises that He has for you. Find that power that He has for you to walk in. Find it. The biggest number one uno enemy that we have, we can think it's this. We can think it's that. We can think it's this person. We can even think it's the devil. But I tell you what, the biggest number one uno problem is that keeps us from going forward in the Lord. The biggest is right there when we get up and look in the mirror to brush our teeth. That's the biggest enemy that we have. What does it say in Romans? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Now, I know Paul was talking about him and the other apostles. That same promise is to us if we'll partake of it and follow up and hear them. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. No sword, no peril, no none of these things will. The only one that will separate us from that is us. Our own pride. So we can get a handle with this, and we're not walking in that love, we're not walking in that power, we're not walking in those things He's called us to walk in. It ain't His fault. It ain't going to be your brother's fault. It ain't going to be that jerk that has done you wrong out there's fault. It's not. It's going to be right square on ourselves. Amen. So let's go in our closet. Let's humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Let's get free of that bondage and that garbage that the enemy loves to tangle you up in. And let's grab on a hold of Jesus and be in Him. Amen. All right, I'm done.